of Judah. And what's the next book are we going to study?
Nehemiah.
And if you can, don't skip it. Of course, it's only 16 chapters. No big deal. You can just read that thing in a few minutes, right? And there is a couple chapters we are going to skip in Nehemiah because there are nothing but names, and I'm not going to embarrass myself with that. If you want to entertain yourself, please go ahead, do that.
No, we want to hear you read them.
Now, you read them.
You entertain us.
All right, tonight's study is titled Get Ready, Get Set, Go. Why did I title that way? Because we should be by... After this study, we should be ready for something special. If you are not prepared before, you will be prepared. If you are ready and had an opportunity to do so, and I will include the incident that I had with a man on the ship. Anyway, so you will be ready and you will be set. You will be ready to go. When we were kids, we used to race against each other, so we used to say, get set, get ready, go. And we went off. State of Jude can be reduced down to the four words as we've been studying this. Contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. What kinds of contentment? Is it contentment? Faith in God, not any other way. Faith in Christ Jesus. That is the main point of the whole book. Not chasing after wind of doctrines that comes time to time. You heard the wind of doctrine of a holy letter. You heard the wind of doctrine of barking like animals. You heard the wind of doctrine of the faith movement still blowing. And then the prosperity gospel, and there was 88 reasons for 88 rapture theory. As Pastor Brian put it so eloquently at the cruise, he said that book was a best-seller book in 1988, but it was not very best-seller book in 1989 because there was no reason to read that book. Anyway, Jude is... concerned about those who going after the book, the wind of doctrines. If you have any doubt, read Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. You don't have to turn there. I will just quote it for you. If I myself or anyone else, including angels, teach any other gospel other than the gospel I taught, let him be eternally accursed. It pretty much clearly tells us any gospel other than gospel of Jesus Christ should be cursed. That's what the Apostle Paul taught us, and Jude is teaching us. This book is compact, but it doesn't hold any punch back. The wind of doctrine tend to come as very emotional, but it can be very much unscriptural. Just because it's touching the emotion, as we all felt in this during the worship time, did you feel the presence of God? Were your heart touched? Yes, that's emotion. That's a part of emotion. Can your heart be touched and twinkled and feel jingled, all of that stuff? Yeah, I had that feeling when I had a snail. That doesn't mean anything. I was getting sick. That's about it. So if you had a bad enchilada last night before, you can have a tingling in your stomach. So we can go by the emotion, but we can go by what the Word of God says. There's one group of people I despise. Yes, I use the word despise. Is the false teachers. There are the false group of false teachers who teaching gospel other than the gospel of Jesus Christ. They teach the word to benefit themselves, money, control, power, or fame, whatever they want to call it. They're using this gospel to gain something from the people. And they are the kinds of people whom I despise most because I want to protect the ship I was told to protect. There's a three command that Jesus gave to the Apostle Peter. and that goes to any pastors. He said, "Tend my sheep, take care of my feed my." Let's try again. Feed my sheep, take care of my sheep, tend my sheep. In other words, I'm supposed to protect the sheep, and I should lay down my life for the sheep. And when other shepherds as hireling comes in and pretend to be the one, they are the leader, they are the shepherds, and they are trying to lead the people to the false doctrine, and they are the one who is the wolves with the sheep clothing. I have no shame, I have nothing holding back to let you guys know that what kind of doctrine that is. I may not reveal their name. If I get upset, it's bad enough, I might reveal their name. But I will reveal their doctrine. Verse 20 of Jude. Excuse me. But you, beloved, you might put the number one, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Number two, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in the Holy Spirit. That's the second one. In verse 3, we read, contending for faith. This is simple faith in Christ Jesus. It's not complicated. How do we cultivate His love in our lives? Number one, this is the method I would use, and I use, by building ourselves up in the faith through the Word of God. Building ourselves up in the Word, in the faith through the Word of God. There is no other way. See, if we grow our love for Him and add a brick of knowledge, wisdom of the Bible, and we can start to build a wall, okay? Build a wall around us, of course, that has a gate, so the other people can come in and we can embrace them. However, we build this wall as Nehemiah building the wall around Jerusalem. This wall is to protect us from when the enemy throws a fiery dart of false doctrine to us. It will bounce off. If we have a right wall of faith from the doctrine based on the Bible, then we will be able to defend ourselves. Second, I ask you on the line number two, praying in the Spirit. That is a mortar. That is the one hold each brick together, praying in the Spirit. Now, if you are in a particular denomination, praying in the Spirit means, what does it mean? Praying in the tongue. Is it praying in the tongue? No, not necessarily. Can you pray in tongue and in the Spirit at the same time? Yes. But in here, praying in the Spirit, what is the... Okay, let's get this thing very clear. When we pray, what does it happen? True meaning of praying. We are aligning ourselves. What?
Conversing with God.
That's good. Conversing with God to do what? If this is God's way, if I'm here, guess what I do? I get to talk to Him. I'm putting myself aligned with Him. That means it's not something what I want and God should do. What God wants, I do. Let's go to Romans 8, 26 and 27, please. Romans 8. So you guys know this by heart. Romans 8, 26 and 27. While you're turning, you just listen. We have a limited spiritual understanding. Correct? Everybody agree with that? Is there anyone who understands everything in the Bible or everything in the spiritual realm? If you do, please talk to me. I'd like to learn from you. If you're like me, we have a limited knowledge for the spiritual things. And to the point, when we come to the point we cannot understand, we don't know how to say what we should say in prayer. So that's when we come in with a moan and groaning, just simply saying, God, help, or do something. We don't know. Something in me equals whatever you have to do. Let's go to 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helped in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for. See what it says? For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with the groanings that cannot be uttered. Now he who searches, he is, this case is a capital H, and he is the Father, Father in heaven. He who searches heart knows what mind of spirit is, because he makes intercession of the saint according to the will of God. If you notice, there is a he, capital he, is several times. One is for the Holy Spirit, one is for the Father. This is another portion where we can declare to the son of the cult that who claim the Holy Spirit is nothing more than force. He is he, distinctive person. In other words, what the Bible says is, this portion of the scripture says is, when we don't know what we should pray for, how we should pray for, when we groan, they cannot be uttered, and he pray for us. The Holy Spirit is literally lifting our heart to God, and God the Father who searches all things and understanding the Holy Spirit mind and receive. And he is doing according to will of God, not according to will of ours. This is coming from the believing that Holy Spirit, it will pray for us in the perfect will of God. In other words, when we start to pray in His Spirit, not necessarily in tongue, His thought become ours, and His way become ours. Let's go to the Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. Isaiah is right after, before the Jeremiah. Right after Solomon 55, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. This is one of those memory verses you might want to put in your heart. And it's whenever you think that you know better than God, whenever I think I know better than God, let this scripture remind us. Is this a stereo, you guys? Anyone else who wants to cough now? Okay. Thank you. Jeez, you guys are sick.
We are.
Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thought, nor are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your way, and my thought than your thought. God knows better. You know, there's an old movie. If you know this one, you're old as me. The Father Knows Best. Yeah. Remember this? Yeah. Anyway, so that kind of TV series said, the Father Knows Best. And indeed, the Father knows best. Let's go back to the verse 21 of Jude. Keep yourself in the love of God. That's number three. So far, we have three commands. First one was building yourself up in your most holy faith. Number two is praying in the Holy Spirit. Number three, keep yourself in the love of God. Fourth command is looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Love of God goes to ungodly and godly alike. However, His own love comes to us. While we were yet still sinners, He displayed His mercy on us according to Christ, and Christ died for us according to Romans 5:8. From this, we know that Jude is not declaring to keep yourself in such a way, make yourself lovable to God. Did you hear me? He is not saying that we have to make ourselves lovable to God. The significance of the love of God has been somehow altered and distorted to many different group of people. One of the group is a homosexual group. They said, God loves me as I am. I was born this way. No, they are not born that way. That's their choice. And some people say, since I was a kid, I have a homosexual lifestyle. Well, since you're a kid, you're perverted. That's the bottom line. We have a choice. They said, the homosexual people said, well, God loves me as I am. Yes, God loves them as they are. However, when they come to God, God starts to clean. Several people from the cruise ship went out to the salmon fishing. Some of them, people said that they caught 120-pound amount of salmon. And by the time they put that in dry ice, put a package it, can it, and ship it to their home, it become about $500 salmon for 120 pounds. I thought, why don't you just go buy it to the salmon at the market? It will be cheaper. He said, yeah, but we can have a big fish story, you know, stretch their arms like that. That's all, I guess it's a idea of catching fish. When God catches fish, he does not clean the fish first. He catch him first. And then he starts to clean. Once he catch us, he changed our heart. There's no people who came to God with the right attitude, right heart, and they cannot stay as they are. If they stay as they are, in my opinion, they are not really saved. They don't know love of God. Once they taste the love of God, they cannot stay as they are. Remember where you were. Remember where I am. Were you this good when you were before Christ? Probably not. You're changed. I'm changed because of the love of Christ. His holiness and His righteousness will not put up with our iniquities. He changed us. So we cannot say, because I'm so good, God had to love me. No, because God is so good, He's willing to love us. Now, we saw the verse 20 and 21, we saw outreach. Now we are going to see it in verse 23 and 22 and 23, we're going to see outreach. Let's look at it there. Verse 22. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with a fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. A good soldier in Christ Jesus not only watch themselves from the enemy fire, he and she also watch others and take care of others from enemy fire. NIV, New International Version, I know some of you think that it's a Neil-inspired version, and don't stop that thing with me. Verse 22, I will read this. Be merciful to those who doubt. I like this translation better because it explains a little bit easier than on those who have compassion, making a distinction. Distinction of what? It reads, the NIV says, be merciful to those who doubt. So if there is somebody who is kind of lacking, let's say I'm struggling. If Barry is a godly man, he will not only take care of himself, he will come out and help me. Am I making sense to you? Encouraging me to stay on the course. Encouraging me to go on. But let's say I have somebody else, and there's somebody who is struggling. And if I say, you piece of jerk, you mean you cannot read the Bible every day, and cannot pray every day? What's the matter with you, you idiot? I'm not helping him. In other words, we are not only to encourage ourselves to stay in the course, we have to encourage one another, outreach to one another. So if there's anyone who is out, we need to go along the side and help them. Be honest with me. Since you came to the Lord, Did you have any doubt about God? I did. Don't look at me like you never had a doubt. I bet you have. And you have doubt in if God, do you really know what you know, what you're doing? Do you need some counseling? But God says, no, I can do just fine, thank you very much. He doesn't ask for our counseling. We had a doubt. And we had a doubt sometimes in the Word of God. After the track record of 7 years in the Lord, I learned to trust no matter what. If the Word of God says, fine. That's fine by me because He gave me the track record that He proved everything right. Do I still doubt? Time to time, yes. It's more doubting myself, am I going to stay in the course? But I don't doubt God anymore. So it is right for us to come alongside of each other and helping each other and be merciful to those who doubt. And not only that, pulling them out, I'm back to the New King James, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. There was a big warehouse contains tons of ice. One night it caught on fire. And the owner of the warehouse said, oh, it's okay. I have a gigantic, the size of the ice inside that warehouse. It will extinguish the fire by itself. Guess what? That fire engulfed the entire warehouse to the ground. You know why? It was a frozen asset. The ice was frozen. It couldn't help the fire to go down. In other words, that was so cold, it was frozen, and it didn't do any good. Yes, outside it melted a little bit. Yeah, there was a puddle of water there, but the building structure, infrastructure was burned to ground. But however, if you can do this, you want to test this, please do so. You know the little cup, like a little bugle-shaped, cone-shaped cup, water cup? You pull it out from the water fountain, fill it up with the water, and stick the match underneath. See what happens. It doesn't burn. The cup does not burn. Why? It's inside is water. Until you boil the water to the point and all that get evaporated, then paper start to burn. What's the difference? Both H2O. One is a frozen, one is a liquid. This one is a moving liquid. This one is a frozen. If we tend to if we are so cold to each other and do not encourage each other, that we are like that frozen, solid ice. Everything will burn down to the ground. Yes, we might be stand, but what about the other people? But if we are like holding each other with the liquid, then we'll be able to stand against the enemy's fire. Am I making sense? All right. Then we did outreach in verse 20 and 21. 22 and 23, we did a kind of enrich. Let's look at about outreach. Can you, some of you guys heard this before, can you give a presentation of gospel in 5 minutes? Can you give presentation of gospel in 5 minutes? Think about this. Just close your eyes, please. Everybody close your eyes and just listen. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, because this wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Jesus told us in the Bible, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believes in Him and should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Jesus told us that He is the way and the life. And He is the way and the truth and the life. No man comes unto the Father but through Him. If you confess your mouth with your mouth and Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay, that's less than 5 minutes. All right, open up. You know what I did? You guys know. I quote 6 verses. Some of you guys know this as Romans wrote. It's not all from Romans. I kind of change it a little bit. Gospel the reason why the gospel presentation is so difficult to a lot of people is because they don't know how. But if you know the system, if you know this method, if you know the formula, you can just insert into the conversation. This is how I did it. In the presence of a Canadian young man with his father, I met him at the ship. We were sharing the table. I told him about Jesus. His answer was, "I'm happy where I am now. I will meet my destiny later." I thought, "You stupid idiot!" I didn't tell him that, but I was thinking about that very much.
Some
yeah, give him good sickness. That will do the job. But no, hitting, huh?
No, he's incredible.
I don't think so. I don't think he was here. Maybe so. Anyway, gospel presentation is relatively simple. Let's think about this. Let them know where they are. Number one, you might want to jot this down so you can follow through this later. And let them know what's going to happen. What's going to happen? Number three, let them know there's no plan B in salvation. Can you see this, Claudia and Gunky? Okay. Number four. Let them know the God's plan for them. And what God did. God's plan through Jesus. Number five. Remind them. The only way. Number six. Closing sale. This is how we close a sale. Let them know how to become a Christian. So where do we find the first one? Where they are? Romans 3:23.
Yeah.
Romans 3:23. Can you go there, please? Romans 3:23. I'm sorry. Now I'm blocking somebody. Sorry. Last time when I stand upside down like that, I almost fell. Romans 3:23. Kay, can you read this for me, please?
For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Okay, all. Emphasis on all. That means no exception. All have sinned. All right. What's going to happen to all human beings without Jesus? Let's go to Romans 6:23. Is it burn, baby? Romans 6:23. Barry, can you read it for me, please? Okay. Emphasis is the wage of sin. In other words, we are all sin, correct? We are sin-ridden people. What's the end result of sin-ridden people? Death. Not just any death, eternal death. But God. Remember what I said before? Whenever there is but God, change everything. That's my favorite two words in the whole Bible. God. But God, of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Alright, then let them know that there is no plan B in salvation. Let's go to John 3:3. This is coming from the story, conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus, the teacher of the Israel. John 3:3. Monkey, can you read it for me? Okay, emphasis on unless man is born again. Born again. What does it mean, born? Spiritually born. Not physically. Physically, once we are born, but spiritually, we are born again. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. In other words, there's a plan B. But then again, there's a but God. Let them know that God's plan for them through Jesus. Could you read that, please? John 3:16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever goes in him should not perish, but have eternal life.
That's the gift of God. God's plan, God's gift. And then remind them, it was a but. Whenever people say but, that means everything, they are ignoring everything before. But they say, well, there is more than when we get to heaven. And this is when we come with John 14:6. Karen, would you read it for me, please?
Jesus said to him, I am the Lord.
He said, I am the way, the life, the truth. And he said, no man come unto the Father but through me. In other words, there's no other way. This is the only way. All right. Then the sail must be closed. Otherwise, if you don't agree with me, ask John. You have to close the sail each time. So let's know how to become a Christian. Let's go to Romans 10:9. Who's going to read it for me? Romans 10:9. Carl, you there?
I haven't found it yet.
Romans. Right after Acts, right before 1 Corinthians. I think you had way too much chocolate. You forgot everything.
I don't want you to say that. Romans 10:9.
Uh-huh. And that hit him. You have my blessing to hit him.
Don't use your hand. No sin hurting to you.
10:9.
That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised from the dead, you will be saved.
Amen. Confess with our mouth. It is important to confess verbally, and believe in our heart God's Jesus' resurrection. God raised him from the dead, and we will be saved. Not only the physical confession, also spiritual belief in our heart. Then, so let's go back. Let them know where they are. They all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Let them know what's going to happen. The sin, wage of the sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There's no plan B. Unless we are born again, no man come unto the Father. No. Oh, I'm mixing them. Unless we are born again, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. God has a plan. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have an everlasting life. Remind them one more time, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There's no way to get to heaven except through Him. Finally, let them know how to become. Let them confess with their mouths they are a sinner. Romans 10:9. Believe in their heart, God, Father, raised him from the dead, and he will be saved. Bam, 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 then it's 5 minutes. Make it as a conversation. Don't call it. Romans 10:9 says, don't do that. Nobody will think that you are a theologian. Nobody will think that I'm a theologian anyway. Just make it as a conversation. Put those verses in your heart. Memorize them, please. And let it come on. Just roll out of your mouth. And I will use you. If you're... Get ready. If you got ready, you said, and he will say, go. Verse 24. This is one of my favorite verses in one of the whole Bible. And you heard this me quoting often. To him who is able to keep us from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. In these two verses, this guy named Jude, so good that he put the predestination and salvation and God's destiny for our lives, and God's dominion, God's care, and God's love. He put them all in one, in two verses. Why can't I do that? Application. Let's build our faith in God through the Word, by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. How are we going to do that? Remember 4 commands at the verse 20 and 21. What are they? What's the 4 commands from verse 20 and 21? Building your faith, yourself up in the most holy faith. Number 2, praying in the Holy Spirit. That's mortar. Holding the knowledge and the wisdom of the Bible. Number 3, keep yourself in the love of God. Not because we are lovable, because He is willing to love us. Number 4, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That's a command. Number 2, our steps designated by the Lord, if we are willing to let Him guide us. One more verse. Psalm 37, please. Psalm 37. Psalm is right before Proverbs in Old Testament. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 37. Whenever I repeat the verses like that, I feel like I'm playing bingo game. Verse 23 and 24. Steps of a good man. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his faith. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. If we just let him, he will do wonders. Remember, Isaiah 55 says, 8 and 9 says, his way is higher than ours, his thought is better than our thought. Faith in God. Does all the makes all the difference in the world. All right, that's the end of Jude. Next week, we are going to have a test. Just kidding. If we have a test, nobody will show up.